हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 24, 61 explanations of the Atmarama verse, page 43. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Why are you glorifying me personally? You should understand the transcendental position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why don't you consider this important point? Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna, the supreme Lord and shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings. The form of Srimad Bhagavatam is given in questions and answers. Thus, the conclusion is established. By hearing these questions and answers, one is highly astonished. Quote, now that Sri Krishna, the absolute truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us by whom religious principles are presently protected." Srila Prabhupada, this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.23 was a question raised by all the sages who were headed by Shaunaka. This question put before the great devotee Suta Goswami is the foremost of the six questions asked. The answer to this important question is given in the next verse, also from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.43. Sri Chaitanya, verse 2, 24, 321 to 323. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. After Lord Krishna departed for his abode along with religious principles and transcendental knowledge, this Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, has arisen like the sun in this age of Kali to enlighten those who have no spiritual vision. End quote. In this way, like a madman, I have explained the meaning of just one verse. I do not know who will take this as evidence. If one becomes a madman like me, he may also understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam by this process. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu plainly explains that Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be understood by those who are materially situated. In other words, one has to become a madman like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Apart from being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an acharya who exhibited love of God like a madman. According to his own written verse, Yugyaitam Nimeshena, he says that for him, quote, a moment seems to last 12 years. End quote. Chakshusha pravishyaitam, my tears are flowing like torrents of rain. Shunyaitam jagat sarvam, I feel as if the entire universe were vacant. Why, Govinda vidahena me, due to my being separated from Govinda, Krishna. One can understand Srimad Bhagavatam only by following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who was mad for Krishna. We cannot, of course, imitate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not possible. However, unless one is very serious about understanding Krishna, he cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the full narration of Krishna's transcendental activities. The first nine cantos explain who Krishna is, and the Lord's birth and activities are narrated in the 10th canto. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Krishna's appearance and disappearance are transcendental, not mundane. A person is eligible to return home back to Godhead if he perfectly understands Krishna and his appearance and disappearance. This is verified by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti surjuna. Bhagavad Gita 4.9. It is therefore concluded that one has to learn about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, and one has to follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who do not follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot understand the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Verses 324 to 355. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu provides an outline for the Hari Bhakti Vilas. 224, 324 to 325. Folding his hands, Sanatana Goswami said, "My Lord, you ordered me to write a directory about the activities of Vaishnavas. I am a most low-born person. I have no knowledge of good behavior. How is it possible for me to write authorized directions about Vaishnava activities?" Srila Prabhupada. Actually, Sanatana Goswami belonged to a very respectable Brahmin family. Nonetheless, he submitted himself as a fallen low-born person because he had served in the Muslim government. A Brahmin is never supposed to engage in anyone's service. Serving others for a livelihood, paricharyatmakam karma, Bhagavad Gita 18.44, is the business of Shudras. The Brahmin is always independent and busy studying Shastra and preaching Shastra to subordinate social members such as Kshatriyas and Vaishnavas. Sanatana Goswami felt unfit to write Vaishnav Smriti about the behavior of Vaishnavas, because he had fallen from their brahminical position. Thus, Sanatana Goswami clearly admits that the brahminical culture should be standardized. Presently in India, so-called Brahmins are almost all engaged in some mundane service, and they do not understand the import of the Vedic Shastras. Nonetheless, they are passing themselves off as Brahmins on the basis of birth. In this connection, Sanatana Goswami declares that a Brahmin cannot be engaged in anyone's service. He wants to take a leading part in society. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni states that even if a Brahmin is in a difficult position, he should not accept the occupation of a Shudra. This means that he should not be engaged in service for another. This is the business of dogs. Under the circumstance, Sanatana Goswami felt very low because he had accepted a position of service in the Muslim government. The conclusion is that no one should claim to be a Brahmana simply by birthright while engaging in someone else's service. 224, so in other words, you have these Brahmins born in Indian Brahmin families. They claim to be Brahmins. They want all the authority. They want all the respect. But one is the point is that they're taking a job working for someone else. And so that already puts them in that they're by occupation, they're not a Brahmin, they're a Shudra. And so Brahmin means they would be studying the Shastras, explaining the Shastras. But they're not doing that. But they want all the benefits, but they don't want any of the responsibility like that. So it's a very common thing. If there is some way to connect that you can say, I deserve some particular thing, but I don't want to work for it, I still want it anyway. So we see that, you know, in all kinds of situations around the world. 224, 326. Sanatana Goswami then requested the Lord, "Please personally tell me how I can write this difficult book about Vaishnava behavior. Please manifest yourself in my heart." Srila Prabhupada, the writing of Vaishnava literatures is not a function for ordinary men. Vaishnava literatures are not mental concoctions. They are all authorized literatures meant to guide those who are going to be Vaishnavas. Under these circumstances, an ordinary man cannot give his own opinion. His opinion must always correspond with the conclusion of the Vedas. Unless one is fully qualified in Vaishnava behavior and authorized by superior authority, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot write Vaishnava literatures or purports and commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. His opinion must always correspond with the conclusion of the Vedas. Right? So unless that is there, then he can't write Vaishnava literatures or purports and commentaries on the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Because the point is you have the knowledge that Krishna is giving coming down through the parampara. And if you're not in line with that, your conclusion is not in line with that, then it's not actually authorized. One should avoid doing such things. Because why? Because then people will not get the spiritual benefit. They'll only get some mundane, at best mundane piety. But at the same time, as if we're opposing the proper things, then they also become contaminated, where they don't actually understand or appreciate the transcendental position. 224, 327 to 328. Srila Sanatana Goswami continued, "If you would please manifest yourself within my heart and personally direct me in writing this book, then, although I am low born, I may hope to be able to write it. You can do this because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead yourself, and whatever you direct is perfect." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Whatever you want to do, you will be able to do correctly by Lord Krishna's favor. He will manifest the real purport." Srila Prabhupada, "Sanatana Goswami is a pure devotee of Krishna. Pure devotee has no business other than serving Krishna. Consequently, Krishna is always ready to help. This benediction was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, who was authorized to write Vaishnava Smriti. Sanatana Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and although the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and through the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was able to write the book perfectly." 224, 329 to 330. Because, Lord Chaitanya is saying, by the mercy of Krishna, because it said that you'll get the mercy of Krishna by worshiping Lord Chaitanya. So in this way, you're getting the mercy of Krishna. Even though Lord Chaitanya may avoid the point that he is Krishna, but the point is Krishna, as Krishna, he'll give the mercy. And as Lord Chaitanya, he'll give the blessings that you'll get the mercy of Krishna. 224, 329, 330. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Because you asked me for a synopsis, please hear these few indications. In the beginning, describe how one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Your book should describe the characteristics of the bona fide guru and the bona fide disciple," right? Both need to be there. Because otherwise, if both aren't there, then, how do you make the proper match? Because you have the bona fide guru, but if it's not a proper disciple, they won't be able to take full advantage and get the full benefit. So you need the qualifications of both. Then, before accepting a spiritual master, one can be assured of the spiritual master's position. Similarly, the spiritual master can also be assured of the disciple's position, right? Because if you know what is bona fide guru and bona fide disciple, then both disciple and guru can be satisfied that the other, meets the criteria. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, should be described as the worshipable object. And you should describe the Bija Mantra for the worship of Krishna, as well as for Rama and for other expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, in the Padma Purana, the characteristics of the Guru, the bona fide spiritual master, have been described. Maha Bhagavata Shreshto Ramano Vai Gurur Nrinam Sarve Sham Eva Lokanam Asau pujyo yatāharihi, maha kula prasutopi sarva yagyeshu dikshitaha, sahasra shaka jayi cha na guru syad avaishnavaha. The guru must be situated on the topmost platform of devotional service. There are three classes of devotees, and the guru must be accepted from the topmost class. The first class devotee is the spiritual master for all kinds of people. It is said, Guru Nrinam. The word Nrinam means of all human beings. The guru is not limited to a particular group. It is stated in the Upadeshamrita by Rupa Goswami that a guru is a Goswami, the controller of the senses and the mind. Such a guru can accept disciples from all over the world. Pritivim sa shishyat. This is the test of the guru. In India, there are many so-called gurus, and they are limited to a certain district or province. They do not even travel about India, yet they declare themselves to be Jagat Guru, the guru of the whole world. Such cheating gurus should not be accepted. Anyone can see how the bona fide spiritual master accepts disciples from all over the world. The guru is a qualified brahmana. Therefore, he knows Brahman and Parabrahman. He thus devotes his life for the service of Parabrahman. The bona fide spiritual master who accepts disciples from all over the world is also worshipped all over the world because of his qualities. Lokanam asau pujo yata harihi. The people of the world worship him just as they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these honors are offered to him because he strictly follows the Brahminical principles and teaches these principles to his disciples. Such a person is called an acharya because he knows the principles of devotional service. He behaves in that way himself, and he teaches his disciples to follow in his footsteps. Right, so we see here is that he knows these principles, he behaves in that way himself, right? So he's heard from his spiritual master, cleared all doubts, he is practicing himself. He, from that practice, is realized, and from realizing, he teaches then his students, right? So this is what the Upanishads are then declaring, that this is knowledge, this is how learning takes place, right? So the Shravana Mananam Nididhyasana. And then the next stage is where then you train others. Thus, he is an acharya or jagat guru. Even though a person is born in a Brahminical family and is very expert in performing sacrifices, he cannot be accepted as a guru if he's not a strict Vaishnava. A guru is a Vaishnava by qualification, and he can turn others into Brahmanas according to the Shastra principles and Brahminical qualifications. Brahmanism is not a question of heredity. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35, Sri Nard Muni tells Maharaj Yudhishthira what a Brahman is. He states that if a Brahminical qualifications are observed in Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or even Shudras, one should accept them as Brahmanas. In this regard, Srila Sridhar Swami has commented, Samadhibhir eva brahmanadi vyavaharo mukhya na jati matra dityaha yasyeti yad yadi anyatra varnantare pi drishyeta tad varnantaram tenaiva lakshana nimi tenaiva varnena vinir dishet natu jati nimi tene tyartaha. The most important criterion for deciding whether to deal with someone as a Brahman or as a member of another Varna is the absence, presence or absence of self-control and similar Brahminical qualities. We should not judge primarily according to superficial characteristics like birth. This is stated in the verse beginning, Yasya, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35. If the qualities of one Varna are seen in someone born in another, he should be designated according to the varna of his qualities, not that of his birth, right? Because the ideas you practically will apply. So when the intelligence matures and you see that then somebody now is acting, you know, of their own, free will, then you see is that, not even free will, but just, the thoughtfulness is there and identity. So when they have that adult mentality, then that's the varna that they are. It doesn't matter what they were, what they're born in, or what they were necessarily doing as a child. It's what they're doing at that time. That's then how they will maintain themselves and perform their duties.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Maharaj, what would be that age around where we just this thing about adult you mentioned?
16.
Okay, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
Is that all right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. You know, I mean, these days you might say 18. You know, it's just a matter of when they start to, you know, mature and follow, they become steady like that. So yes, that you have to see is then what's the prominence there. You know, I mean, if the family they're born in, they're showing those qualities and all, that means you're going to deal like that. So even as children, what it means, the family, according to the family, you'll deal with them. If they're with the family, or if they're in the school by training, then you may refer to that position, but you're going to absorb them, you know, I mean, engage them according to what nature they're showing at the present, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
And so then accordingly, then they'll go. I mean, the standard studies are always there no matter what. We should not judge primarily according to superficial characteristics like birth. So not primarily means if it also supports, yes, it's just one more thing to show that that's there, because it's natural that someone born in a particular family would have the qualities of that family, but it's not necessarily so. That's the point that's being made. You can't make it just on birth. What family they're born in, you know, they're with their parents, they're doing the things as a child, you're going to deal with them as a member of that family and of that foreigner. But you see, as they grow up and they establish themselves, then you're going to deal with them according to that position. This is stated in the verse beginning Yasya. Okay. If the qualities of one varna are seen in someone born in another, he should be designated according to the varna of his qualities, not that of his birth. There's a similar statement made by Nilakanta, a commentator on the Mahabharata. Shudropi samadyupeto brahmana eva brahmanopi kamadyupeta shudra eva. Although one may be born in a Shudra family, he's endowed with the Brahminical qualities, beginning with Shama, control of the mind. He is also to be accepted as a Brahmana. Although one may be born in a Brahmin family, if he's endowed with the qualities beginning with Kama, lust, he is to be considered a Shudra. End quote. No one should present himself as a Brahmin simply on the basis of being born in a Brahminical family. One must be qualified by the Brahminical qualities mentioned in the Shastras, particularly the Bhagavad Gita, 18:42. Samodhamas tapas saucham chantir arjanam eva cha. Jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma swabhavacham. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. Unless one is qualified with these attributes, he cannot be accepted as a Brahmana. It is not a question of simply taking birth in a Brahmin family. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Goswami, although not born in Brahmin families, are accepted as bona fide spiritual masters because they were Brahmins by qualification. Personalities like Sri Ganga Narayan, Ramakrishna, and many others who were actually born in Brahmin families accepted Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Goswami as their spiritual masters. The Mahabhagavat is one who decorates his body with tilak and whose name indicates him to be a servant of Krishna by the word dasa. He is also initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and is expert in worshiping the deity, chanting mantras correctly, performing sacrifices, offering prayers to the Lord, and performing Sankirtan. He knows how to serve the personality of Godhead and how to respect a Vaishnava. When one has attained the topmost position of Mahabhagavat, he is to be accepted as a guru and worship exactly like Hari, the personality of Godhead. Only such a person is eligible to occupy the post of a guru. However, if one is highly qualified but is not a Vaishnava, he cannot be accepted as a guru. One cannot be Brahmana unless one is a Vaishnava. If one is a Vaishnava, he is already a Brahmana. If a guru is completely qualified as a Vaishnava, he must be accepted as a Brahmana, even if he is not born in a Brahmana family. The caste system method of distinguishing a Brahmana by birth is not acceptable when applied to a bona fide spiritual master. Spiritual master is a qualified Brahman and Acharya. One is not a qualified Brahman. He is not expert in studying the Vedic literatures. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipanao. Every Vaishnava is a spiritual master, and a spiritual master is automatically expert in Brahminical behavior. He also understands the Vedic Shastras, right? So then one's following in the footsteps of the Acharyas, and then how they're explaining, how they're giving the directions, how they're giving the practices, one is committed to that and performing those activities, then you see that that person becomes qualified in that way. Then he is able to be established nicely in that position. So that's where the qualification comes. It's just following in the footsteps that the acharyas have given. So you see the acharyas being pure Vaishnavas. Then the commentaries that they give, the directions, the practices they give, if we follow those, then that means then we're following in their footsteps, then we are counted in the same way. Similarly, a disciple's qualifications must be observed by the spiritual master before he is accepted as a disciple. In our Krishna conscious movement, the requirement is that one must be prepared to give up the four pillars of sinful life: illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. In Western countries especially, we first observe whether a potential disciple is prepared to follow the regulator principles. Then he is given the name of a Vaishnav servant and initiated to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at least 16 rounds daily. In this way, the disciple renders devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master or his representative for at least 6 months to a year. He is then recommended for a second initiation, during which a sacred thread is offered and the disciple is accepted as a bona fide brahmana. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced the system of giving the sacred thread to a bona fide Vaishnava, and we are following in his footsteps. The qualifications of a bona fide disciple are described in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.10.6 as follows: Amanya Matsaro Daksho Nirmamo Dridha Sauridha. Sauhrida, asatvaror ta jigyasur, anasuyur amoghavak. The disciple must have the following qualifications. He must give up interest in the material bodily conception. He must give up material lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. He should be interested only in understanding the science of God, and he should be ready to consider all points in this matter. He should no longer think, I am this body, or this thing belongs to me. One must love the spiritual master with unflinching faith, and one must be very steady and fixed. The bona fide disciple should be inquisitive to understand transcendental subject matter. He must not search out faults among good qualities, and he should no longer be interested in material topics. His only interest should be Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ooh. Yeah, so what we see is that these are the qualifications for the disciple. So we see is that so much talk is always there about the guru and all this, which is very important. And you must have that and must understand that qualification. But at the same time, is there's also the qualification of the disciple, which much of the time is not thought. Like the first point is that he must give up interest in the material bodily conception. Therefore, if someone says we're Westerners, we can't follow this process, they've already failed the first qualification. Right? You know, give up material lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. Generally, everybody will agree to that. Should be interested only in understanding the science of God, and he should be ready to consider all points on this matter. Right? So every angle that is there in that, he shouldn't only accept those that he thinks are politically correct and reject those that are not. Otherwise, he's not actually, vichar doesn't take place. Should no longer think I'm this body or this thing belongs to me. One must love the spiritual master with unflinching faith, right? And be very steady and fixed, right? He should be, disciples should be inquisitive to understand transcendental subject matter. He must not search out faults among good qualities. So they shouldn't look into the spiritual master and find faults that are there, faults in his commentaries, faults in his methods, all these things like that. Otherwise, then do they have unflinching faith? You know, and if they don't, then that steadiness and being fixed will be lost. Because that's the point, is the faith is what makes one steady and what makes one fixed. So therefore, giving up this bodily conception, giving up the tendency to find faults and all that kind of thing, and absorbing oneself in the service of the spiritual master, that then it becomes the position. That's the bona fide disciple. As far as the mutual testing of the spiritual master and disciple is concerned, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that a bona fide disciple must be very inquisitive to understand the transcendental subject matter. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21, Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Chigyasu Shreya Uttamam. One who is inquisitive to understand the highest goal and benefit of life must approach a bona fide spiritual master and surrender unto him. End quote. A serious disciple must be alert when selecting a bona fide spiritual master. He must be sure that the spiritual master can deliver all the transcendental necessities. The spiritual master must observe how inquisitive the disciple is and how eager he is to understand the transcendental subject matter. The spiritual master should study the disciple's inquisitiveness for no less than 6 months or a year. Spiritual master should not be very anxious to accept the disciple because of his material opulences. Sometimes a big businessman or landlord may approach a spiritual master for initiation. Those who are materially interested are called vishayis, karmis, which indicates they are very fond of sense gratification. Such vishayis sometimes approach a famous guru and ask to become a disciple, just as a matter of fashion. Sometimes vishayis pose as disciples of a reputed spiritual master just to cover their activities and advertise themselves as advanced in spiritual knowledge. In other words, they want to attain material success, right? Because they're looking at, they want material success that, you know, everyone will respect them and everyone will deal and, oh, he has something to say. And so, you know, whatever direction he wants to take things, then people will listen. A spiritual master must be very careful in this regard. Such business is going on all over the world. The spiritual master does not accept the materially opulent disciple just to advertise the fact that he has such a big disciple, right? So the same way, the spiritual master doesn't accept just to say, yes, see, he's my disciple, and then in this way increase his prestige. He knows that by associating with such Vishayi disciples, he may fall down. One who accepts a Vishayi disciple is not a bona fide spiritual master. Even if he is, his position may be damaged due to association with an unscrupulous Vishayi. The so-called spiritual master accepts the disciple for his personal benefit or for material gain. The relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple turns into a material affair, and the spiritual master becomes like a smarter guru. There are many caste Goswamis who professionally create some disciples who do not care for them or their instructions. Such spiritual masters are satisfied simply to get some material benefits from the disciples, right? So then they're professional gurus. And so then their only business is maintaining their position as gurus. It's not about spiritual upliftment or development. Such a relationship is condemned by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who calls such spiritual masters and disciples a society of cheaters and cheaters. They are also called Baulas or Prakrita Sahajiyas. Their aim is to make the connection between the spiritual master and the disciple into a very cheap thing. They are not serious in wanting to understand spiritual life. There are three modes of nature in the material world, but when one is situated spiritually, he is above the material modes, even though he lives in this material world, as Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 14.26. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityayitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. End quote. In material consciousness, however, even one who is situated in the mode of goodness is susceptible to pollution by the modes of passion and ignorance. When the mode of goodness is mixed with the mode of passion, one worships the sun god, Vivaswan. When the mode of goodness is mixed with the mode of ignorance, one worships Dhanapati or Ganesh. When the mode of passion is mixed with the mode of ignorance, one worships Durga or Kali, the external potency. When one is simply in the mode of ignorance, one becomes the devotee of Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is the predominating deity of the mode of ignorance within this material world. However, when one is completely free from the influence of all the modes of material nature, he becomes a pure Vaishnava on the devotional platform. As Srila Rupa Goswami states in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavaditam Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam Bhakti Rutama. One should render transcendent loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material gain, with material profit or gain, through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. The position of Vishuddha Sattva is the position of uncontaminated goodness. On that platform, one can then understand Arajyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is to be worshipped along with his transcendental abode, Vrindavan. And so when one gives up those things, like we can see, is that we saw Narottam Das Thakur is making the point, is that then when you surrender to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda Prabhu is pleased. And then by his grace, one can be freed from material endeavor or material desire. And so then in that position, one can understand the Dham. Then from that platform, then to be serving the instructions of the Goswamis, then one can understand and appreciate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So that means then one has to give up these material desires, which will be within the modes of nature. So we saw before is depending on what they're there, then mode of goodness, they're worshiping, on their platform, when you put in goodness and passion, then you get, they worship the sun. Because the sun means life, just all life and all that. So then you're respectful to all living entities like that. Then when it's goodness with the ignorance, then you're going to get the Ganapatya worship, because then it's not all living entities, it's a certain group. So like you're a greenie, so you're worried about the trees, or you're worried about the blue whales, or you're worried about, some particular group, even within the human society, just this group or that group, or something like that. And you don't care about the others necessarily. So we see is that there's some ignorance there with the passion, with the goodness and passion, then it's no all living entities, all like this. Then when you see it's passion and ignorance, then you're going to get Durga, because we have the aspect of the ignorance, but that passion is there that you want so many things. And then when it's just ignorance, then it's Lord Shiva, because he's the Lord of ignorance. Yeah. So when one, therefore, then following the footsteps of the bona fide spiritual master, worships the Lord without these other material motives, then that devotional service, that pure devotional service, that situation above the modes of nature. So one is unaffected. That's why then you can see they mentioned about stable, steady. So being steady, that is because one is absorbed in Krishna. So factually, these higher qualities in that, they can only be attained actually by being devotee. The Vaishnavas, they can attain those. The others, they may have for now, and then you see many times they lose those things. But the Vaishnava automatically has those and automatically moves up in the system. The word sarva mantra vicharana in the present verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita means considering all different types of mantras. There are different kinds of mantras for different kinds of devotees. There is the mantra known as Dvadasakshara mantra, composed of 12 syllables, and there is the mantra composed of 18 syllables. Similarly, there are the Nrsimha mantra, the Rama mantra, the Gopal mantra, and so on. Each and every mantra has its own spiritual significance. The spiritual master has to select the mantra for his disciple according to the disciple's ability to chant different mantras. 2:20. So, Srila Prabhupada, following the footsteps of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then these have been chosen by what will work for the devotees of this age and all that. Like you see is that we have, we're chanting the Sringa prayers after the Artiks, like that, the Gopal mantra, the other mantras that go with it. All these things are considered. And then he mentioned before, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then to establish that this second initiated devotee then has attained the position of a brahmana, then they get the Brahma Gayatri along with it. And Prabhupada said he's following the footsteps of his Guru Maharaj and doing the same thing. And so then in that way, the mantras that have nicely been worked out for us. And so then in that way, we We don't have to worry. Oh no, but I'm this. I want this mantra. You know, and somebody else's. No, I'm a devotee of Halava. My mantra that I chant, you know, every day, Mahaprasadi Govinde Namabhamani, like this. You know, so it's not. This is not at this. When we hear this, we shouldn't mean. Oh, what about this? What about that? Am I missing out on something? Someone else have something better? No. It's the point is no. The acharyas have worked this out and they've given. And so you don't have to worry about it. 224.31. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "You should discuss the qualifications necessary for receiving mantra. The perfection of the mantra, the purification of the mantra. Initiation, morning duties, remembrance of the Supreme Lord, cleanliness and washing the mouth and other parts of the body." Right, so then these are all the things, because we have to remember here that Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatana Goswami in this Vaishnav Smriti. And so this is what Vaishnavs use. Then you're going to see is what are the main points that Lord Chaitanya is giving. And you're going to see then what the Acharyas have given us, so what Srila Prabhupada gives us. And then within that, then we will then see that we're nicely engaged. So there might be some more technical points, but if some simple points have been given that cover the principle of it, and we ourselves, you know, function in that simple way, then, you know, we're good. We're covered very nicely. But if we, you know, so we shouldn't worry about it. But if technically we can follow some more things, what we have to understand is that those technical points, if they're not attaining the principle on which they're based, then what's the meaning? That's the whole thing. It's not that, but the Vaishnavas used to do this before. Yeah, but the Vaishnavas, you know, could sit there and do so many things before. And so the point is the principle is what you want to obtain, not the detail, right? It means the detail, whatever we're given, that we're going to attain. But if we simply look at some technical details and don't know what the principle is, then we've actually missed the point. Like that. So he's mentioned all these things: morning duties, remember Supreme Lord, cleanliness, and washing the mouth and other parts of the body. So Lord Chaitanya is not saying, oh, we just chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for all these rules. Then why did he instruct Sanatana Goswami so much detail, and then how to perform all these things? Srila Prabhupada, the following injunction is given in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 1.194 regarding mantra adhikari. Qualification for receiving mantra initiation. Tantri keshu chamantreshu dikshayam yoshitam api sadvinam adhikarosti sudradinam chasadhyam. Shudras and women who are chaste and sincerely interested in understanding the absolute truth are qualified to be initiated with the Pancharatrika mantras. This is confirmed by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 9.32. Mam hi parta vyabhashritya ye pisyu papayonayaha striyo vaishas tata shudras te pi yanti bharam gatim. O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishas, merchants, and shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. Right? So then the point is. So the Prabhupada continues, if one actually wants to serve Krishna, it doesn't matter whether one is a Shudra, Vaishya, or even a woman. If one is sincerely eager to chant the Hare Krishna mantra or Diksha mantra, one is qualified to be initiated through the Pancharatrika process. However, according to Vedic principles, only a Brahmin who is fully engaged in his occupational duties can be initiated. Shudras and women are not admitted to a Vaidika initiation. Unless one is fit according to the estimation of the spiritual master, one cannot accept a mantra from the Pancharatrika Vidhi or the Vaidika Vidhi. When one is fit to accept the mantra, one is initiated by the Pancharatrika Vidhi or the Vaidika Vidhi. In either case, the result is the same. Right? So then we're seeing here that it's by qualifying oneself as in the devotional standard that one is able to then to receive the mantra. So by the Bhagavat process of chanting Hare Krishna, we get purified. And by that process, then we're able to come to the point to accept the Pancharatrika or the Vedic mantras. So that's actually, we have to understand that's how it's coming in. So whatever the background, one is sincere, then if one, if one is committed and following the order of the spiritual master, then that application, that steadiness, that faith, then one is able to qualify then to receive the proper mantras, right? So that means then by that chanting itself, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, that has the power to purify one and uplift one to the natural, that position by which one can take advantage. Regarding the mantra Siddhyadi Shodhana, right? So in other words, Sanatana Goswami has established how we are using our Diksha process, how these things are going. So we may not necessarily bump into people who complain about this, but it's all there in the Shastra in case somebody does complain, you know, because it's giving the full verses on what's there and how it goes on. Otherwise, some will say, oh, no, if one's not born in the Brahmin family, he can't get these mantras. But it's shown, no, when whatever family one's born in, if one is serious about the devotional process and chanting Hare Krishna, he can qualify then for any of these mantras. Regarding mantra Siddhyadi Shodhana, the efficacy of the mantra, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives 16 divisions, which are confirmed in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, beginning with 1, 2, or 4. Siddha Sadhya Shushi Dhari Kramaj Geyo Vichakshanahi. These are 1, Siddha, 2, Sadhya, 3, Shushidha, and 4, Adi. These principles can be divided further. Siddha Siddha, Siddha Sadhya, Siddha Shushidha, and Siddha Adi. Sadhya Siddha, Sadhya Sadhya, Sadhya Shushidha, and Sadhya Adi. Then Shushidha Siddha, Shushidha Sadhya, Shushidha Shushidha, Shusiddha Adi, Adi Siddha, Adi Sadhya, Adi Shusiddha, and Adi Adi. Those who are initiated with the 18-syllable mantra do not need to consider the above-mentioned 16 divisions. As enjoined in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, 215, 219, and 220. Nachatra Satrava Dosha Narnasvadi Vicharana Riksharashi Vicharova Na Kartavyo Mano Priye Natra Chintyori Shudhyadir Nari Mitrari Lakshanam Siddha Sadhyam Shushidhari Rupa Natra Vicharana. There is Shodhana or purification of the mantra, but there is no such consideration for the Krishna mantra. Balitvat Krishna mantranam samskara pekshanam nahi. The Krishna mantra is so strong that there is no question of Shodhana. Hari Bhakti Vilasa 1.2.35. Because otherwise they're taking the mantra, and because they're just syllables, then they're going through and purifying until they've done all the different things. And then now they chant the mantra and that potency is there. Right? Because the idea is that you're going to have a system that whoever is properly connected with the Vedic culture, then they can follow. But if you're connected with the Vaishnav line, then with the chit potency, that's there with already within this mantra. So you don't have to have mantra. You don't have to have the purification of the mantras. The mantra is pure by your following the instruction of the spiritual master. So by following the regulative principles, by chanting Hare Krishna, that maintains the purity of the mantra. Right? And Hare Krishna mantra is beyond these things anyway. As far as Diksha is concerned, one should consult Madhya Lila 1508. On the whole, when a person is initiated according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi, he has already attained the position of a Brahmana. This is enjoined in the Hari Bhakti, the last 2.12. Yata kanchanatam yati kamshyam rasa vidhanatha tatha diksha vidhanena dvijatam jayate narinam. As bell metal can be turned into gold when treated with mercury. A disciple initiated by a bona fide guru immediately attains the position of Brahmana. As far as the time of diksha initiation is concerned, everything depends on the position of the guru. As soon as a bona fide guru is received by chance or by a program, one should immediately take the opportunity to receive initiation. In the book called Tattvasagara, it is stated, if by chance one gets a sadguru, it doesn't matter whether one is in the temple or the forest. If the sadguru, the bona fide spiritual master, agrees, one can be initiated immediately without waiting for a suitable time or place. Right? Because when you're dealing with the transcendental, it's not affected by all these different things. That's why we see for us as the main thing is when, especially initiations and this, then Srila Prabhupada would just on a festival day, you know, there devotees are all coming together. You can have a nice program. And so on those days, you would have the program. You wouldn't worry about if it's auspicious or not or this or that. When you're dealing with samskaras, these kind of programs, then you are dealing with the particular making proper arrangements for the to accommodate the conditioned position of the living entity and purify them. So those then you look for proper times. But we see here is that when we're dealing on the transcendental platform initiation, it doesn't actually require an auspicious time, yeah, or place. Concerning Pratasmiti, remembrance of the Lord in the morning, in the early morning hours known as Brahma Muhurta, one should get up and immediately chant the Hare Krishna mantra, or at least Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. In this way, one should remember Krishna, right? So getting up as soon as you raise up, then you should chant the whole mantra, or at least like it says here, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. In this way, one should remember Krishna. Some shlokas or prayers should also be chanted. By chanting, one immediately becomes auspicious and transcendental to the affection of material qualities. Actually, one has to chant and remember Lord Krishna 24 hours daily, or as much as possible. Smartavyas satatam vishnor vishmartavyo nagjatu chit. Sarve vidhi nishedyasyur etayor eva kinkaraha. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastra should be the servants of these two principles. This is a quotation from the Padma Purana from the portion called Brihat Sahasranama Stotra. The word pratakriya in the present verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita means that one should evacuate regularly in the morning and then cleanse himself by taking a bath. One has to gargle achman and brush his teeth, danta dhavan. He should do this either with twigs or a toothbrush, whatever is available. This will purify the mouth. Then one should take his bath. Actually, householders in vanaprastha should bathe two times a day. Pratar madhya madhya nayo snanam vanaprastha grihastayoho. A sannyasi should bathe three times daily, and a brahmachari may take only one bath a day. Right? You know, if he's doing puja and all that, then he may be taking more baths. Or if someone, even grihastha vanaprastha, if they're doing puja all day at the temple, then they may also be taking. Whenever one is not able to bathe in water, he can bathe by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. One also has to perform his sandhyadi vandana. That is, one who has to chant his Gayatri mantra three times daily, morning, noon, and evening. Right? So here it said three times, you know, and also how is it in the prayers in the morning, yes, yes, three sandhyam, you know, the three sandhyas. So some get all bent out of shape and say only morning and evening are sandhyas and all that. So there is no noon. So you're only supposed to chant twice. But, you know, here Prabhupada mentions three times and Manu Samhita mentions three times. So we should, you know, kind of go with it. 224, 332, 334. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, you should describe how in the morning one should regularly brush his teeth, take his bath, offer prayers to the Lord, and offer obeisances to the spiritual master. and paint one's body in 12 places with Urdhva Pundra, Tilak, as well as how one should stamp one's body with the holy names of the Lord or the symbols of the Lord, such as the disc and club. After this, you should describe how one should decorate his body with Gopichandana, wear neck beads, collect tulsi leaves from the tulsi tree, cleanse his cloth and the altar, cleanse his own house or apartment, go to the temple and ring the bell just to draw the attention of Lord Krishna. Also describe the deity worship wherein one should offer food to Krishna at least 5 times daily, and in due time, place him on a bed. Should also describe the process for offering artik and the worship of the Lord according to the list of 5, 16, or 50 ingredients. Okay, Srila Prabhupada. The 5 ingredients for deity worship are very good scents, very good flowers, 3, incense, 4, a lamp, and 5, something edible, right? So these 5 are the main ones that are very pleasing to Krishna. So even if you're not doing a technical worship and all that, then these can be done. So then you can put nice scents, nice flowers, incense, lamp, something edible. And then other things then you, as you can do, and you try to do nicely. As for Shodasha Upachara, the 16 ingredients, one should, 1, provide a sitting place, asana, 2, ask Krishna to sit down, 3, offer argya, 4, offer water to wash the legs, 5, wash the mouth, 6, offer maruparka, 7, offer water for washing the mouth, 8, bathe the Lord, 9, offer garments, 10, decorate the Lord's body with ornaments, 11, offer sweet scents, 12, offer flowers with good fragrance, like the rose or champak, 13, offer incense, 14, offer a lamp, 5, offer good food, and 16, offer prayer. So you see those 5 ones, they're in the last group. Because you have those that are receiving the Lord, then there's bathing and dressing the Lord, and after that, then you have these ones like that. So those are the nicest, the main ones that are there. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, 11, 127 through 140, there's a vivid description of what is required in deity worship. There are 64 items mentioned. In the temple, worship should be so gorgeous that all 64 items should be available for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead. Sometimes it is impossible to get all 64 items. Therefore, we recommend that at least on the first day of installation, all 64 items should be available. When the Lord is established, worship with all 64 items should continue as far as possible. The 64 items are as follows. So you see is that there's certain main ones and then they expand out. It means that the 5 become the 16, become the 64. So they're as follows. 1, there must be a big bell hanging in front of the temple room so that whoever comes into the room can ring the bell. This system is called prabodhana, or offering oneself submissively to the Lord. This is the first item. 2, the visitor must chant Jaya Shri Radha Govinda or Jaya Shri Radha Madhava when he rings the bell. In either case, the word Jaya must be uttered, right? So the Jaya and, you know, the name of the deities like that. 3, one should immediately offer obeisances to the Lord falling down like a stick. 4, there must be regular Mangal Artik in the temple during the early morning, an hour and a half before the sun rises. 5, there must be an asan, a sitting place before the altar. This asan is for the spiritual master. The disciple brings everything before the spiritual master, and the spiritual master offers everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 6, after Mangal Artik, the deity is supposed to wash his teeth by using a twig. Therefore, a twig must be offered. 7, water must be offered for washing the deity's feet. 8, argya should be offered. 9, water for achman should be offered. 10, maruparka, a small bowl containing madu, honey, a little ghee and a little water, a little sugar, yogurt, and milk. It should be offered. Yeah, so basically it's a panchamrita with a little bit of water. This is called Maruparka Achmana, right? Some get grumpy about this Maruparka Achman, but Prabhupada is just using the Sanskrit that's mentioned. You know, So because they go together, you're going to do Madhuparka. The item you're offering is Madhuparka, but after doing Madhuparka, you're going to offer Achman. So the two go together. You can't just offer Madhuparka on its own and that's it. That's like I give you something to eat, but no water to wash your hands. So the same way as the Madhuparka is accepted, then there must be Achman. So therefore Madhuparka, Achman. It itself is like an Achman. It's for purification. It's taken like an Achman is done. But at the same time, is it also goes with Achman. So, yeah, you have to be, yeah. 11, one should place wooden slippers before the Lord. 12, one should massage the body of the Lord. 13, one should massage the body of the Lord with oil. 14, with a soft, wet sponge, one should remove all the oil smeared over the Lord's body. Right, so you put on, you massage, you put the oil, that's put in nicely. Then you're going to remove all the excess that's there. Then you'll start the Abhishek. One should bathe the water bathe the Lord with water in which nicely scented flowers have been soaking for some time, right? So they get that fragrance of the flowers. 16, after bathing the body of the Lord with water, one should bathe him with milk. 17, then one should bathe him with yogurt. Then one should bathe him with ghee. 19, one should bathe him with honey. 20, one should bathe him with water in which sugar has been dissolved. 21, then one should wash the deity with water and chant this mantra. Chintamani prakara sadmashukalpa briksha lakshabriteshu surabhira palayantam lakshmi sahasra sata sambrahma sevyamanam govindamari purusham tamahang vajami. Brahma Samhita 5:29. 22, one should dry the entire body of the Lord with a towel. 23, a new dress should be put on the Lord's body. 24, means new means different from the one he was wearing. That's it. Yeah. 25, water should be offered for cleansing his mouth, Achman, right? Because you always do Achman after you've taken your bath, right? So Achman's done that we see in the beginning. It's done after Madhuparka. It's done here, we see, after bathing. You'll see it'll be done later after eating. So Achman is a regular thing that goes on. So you have the first one is Achman. All the other ones are called Punar Achman. So you have the Achman as part of the ritual of respect. And then all the other ones are practical for purification. 26, nicely scented oils like liquid sandalwood pulp should be smeared over the Lord's body. 27, all kinds of ornaments and crowns should be placed on his body, right? So liquid sandalwood pulp. So these are the kind of things that are put, and those have oils in them. You can add oils. Just to put straight oil is not necessarily so good because it'll get on the cloth and pick up dust and all that. But the sandalwood, then it'll dry, and it won't make a mess on anything, and it will give a nice scent. And you can also put it on the designs. You can do so many nice things with it. So Gandha traditionally means sandalwood, and then it can be, other things can be added to that. All kinds of ornaments and crowns should be placed on his body. 28, then one should offer flower garlands and decorative flowers. 29, one should burn incense. 30, lamps should be offered. 31, prakasha should always be taken so that demons and atheists cannot harm the body of the Lord. Right, so you must see that there's always people with the Lord, that the whole arrangement, how he's staying, is very safe. People can't just walk in or can't break in like this. 32, food offerings should be placed before the Lord. 33, spices for chewing should be offered. 34, betel nuts should be offered. 35, at the proper time, there should be arrangements so the Lord may take rest in bed. 36, the Lord's hair should be combed and decorated. Right? So here now they're going through what we saw before was in detail, you know, spice of a chewing, betel nuts should be offered. Right? So that then you're seeing is, you know, very nicely how it's done, how you're approaching the temple and how you're worshiping the Lord with the 16 items and all the little details that are there. Now we're seeing is that then, you know, you're making other arrangements for him. Arrangement should be made so the Lord can take rest in bed. 36, the Lord's hair should be combed, decorated. 37, first class garment should be offered. Right, so not just any old thing, but something nice, you know, when it's what you can arrange. 38, a first class helmet should be offered, right? The crowns and jewels should be very nice. That doesn't mean we're using real ones, but it means that, you know, you're seeing that they're well, you know, properly made. They look very nice. You maintain them. The garment should be scented. 40, there should be kastuba, jewels, and other ornaments offered. 41, a variety of flowers should be offered. 42, another Mongol Arctic should be offered. 43, a mirror should be offered. 44, right, means after he dressed and all that, then the Lord shone how nice it looks. You know, also, you can also, yeah. 44, the Lord should be carried on a nice palanquin to the altar. 45, the Lord should be seated on the throne. 46, again, water should be given for washing his feet, right? Because he's gone to the bathing place. Now he's coming back to the altar. 47, something again should be offered for eating. 48, evening arctic should be offered. 49, the Lord should be fanned with the charmer of fan. So then also we see he's sleeping. He may go to another place. So a lot of times in the big temples, then the main deity is staying there, but the Utsav deities, the small deities, then they'll go somewhere else for eating, or they may go somewhere else for sleeping, and then after that they come back very nicely. The Lord should be fanned with a chamara fan, and an umbrella should be placed over his head. 50. The Hare Krishna mantra and approved song should be sung. 51, musical instruments should be played. 52, one should dance before the deity. 53, one should circumambulate the deity. 54, one should again offer obeisances. 55, one should offer different types of prayers and hymns at the Lord's lotus feet. 56, one should touch the lotus feet of the Lord with one's head. This may not be possible for everyone, but at least the pujari should do this, right? And that's then what the shatari is for. Because then that touches the Lord's lotus feet, and then that we can touch to the head. So the devotees come, and then the pujari touches everyone's head. 57, the flowers offered on the previous day should touch one's head. Right, the nirmalya, then one would respect that. 58, one should take the remnants of the Lord's food. 59, one should sit before the Lord and think that he is massaging the Lord's legs. 60, one should decorate the Lord's bed with flowers before the Lord takes his rest. 61, one should offer one's hand to the Lord, like, because you're asking him to come down and you know, take his rest, or also in the meals, and you're asking him to come and accept the offering. 62, one should take the deity to his bed. 63, one should wash the feet of the Lord and then sit him on the bed. 64, one should place the Lord on the bed and then massage his feet. So these are the 64 items. Artik, so we see is in our temples, so many of these are being done, you know, and on festivals, then even more things will be done. So it's just a matter of being aware. And then you see is that it's something that we're accustomed to. So for us deities, especially the big temples, I mean temples, then generally we see 64 as the standard we're looking for, though if you, you know, you may not be bathing the deity every day with Panchamrita, but you can bathe them every day with water. So, you know, like that, you do whatever can be. And then on special occasions, then the Panchamrita is used. Artik should be offered to the deities 5 times daily, early in the morning before sunrise, later in the morning, at noon, in the evening, and at night. This means that there should be worship and a change of dress and flowers. As far as the eatables are concerned, right? So then if you can do, then also then the clothes are changed and that, and also different flowers are put. Sometimes some temples don't change clothes. They put in a garland in the afternoon. Some, I think a few temples, they change clothes in the afternoon for the deities. So when they open in the afternoon, they have a different set on. Yeah, but in any case, there should be worship and change of dress and flowers in the early morning before after sunrise, like that. All items should be first class prep. As far as the eatables are concerned, all items should be first class preparations. There should be first-class rice, dal, fruit, sweet rice, vegetables, and a variety of foods to be sucked, drunk, and chewed. All the edibles offered to the deity should be extraordinarily excellent. So you try to make them as nice as possible. In Europe and America, there is presently no monetary scarcity. People are not poor, and if they follow these principles of deity worship, they will advance in spiritual life. As far as placing the deity in the bed is concerned, the deity is large and heavy. It is not possible to move him daily. It is better that a small deity, which is also worshipped, be taken to the bed. This mantra may be chanted, Agacha Sayanam Stanam Priyabhis Sahakeshava. O Keshava, kindly come to your bed along with Srimati Radharani. Hari Bhakti Vilas 1140. The deity should be placed in bed with Srimati Radharani, and this should be indicated by bringing the wooden slippers from the altar to the bedside. When the deity is laid down, his legs should be massaged. Before lying the deity down, a pot of milk and sugar should be offered to him, right? So he takes cure before he takes rest. After taking this thick milk, the deity should lie down and be offered betel nuts and spices to chew, right? So then, right, so then these are there, and then he can rest nicely with Srimati Radharani. Massage is given, and then they take rest. 224, 335 to 336. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the characteristics of the deity should be discussed, as well as the characteristics of the Shaligram Shila. You should also discuss visiting the deities in the temple and touring holy places like Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. You should glorify the holy name and explain that one must carefully give up offenses when chanting the holy name. You should also describe the symptoms of a Vaishnava and explain that one must give up or nullify all kinds of seva aparad, offenses in deity worship. Srila Prabhupada. The devotee should always be very careful not to commit the 10 offenses while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. If the devotee very strictly follows the methods of deity worship, he will naturally and quickly become a pure Vaishnava. A pure Vaishnava has unflinching faith in the Lord, and he does not deviate at all. He is always engaged in perfect deity worship. One should also note the specific offenses against deity worship. These are mentioned in the Skanda Purana, Avanti Kanda, spoken by Vyasadeva himself. One should liquidate all kinds of offenses. The Shaligram Srila should be worshipped with Tulsi, where there is sufficient quantity of Tulsi leaves are available. Worship of Shaligram Srila should be introduced in all ISKCON temples. Shaligram Srila is the form of the Lord's mercy. To worship the deity with the 64 items mentioned may be a difficult job, right? You know, they take him to bed, bring him back, by bathing him with the panchamrita, all these different things, but the Shaligram, you can do this very nicely. To worship the deity with the 64 items mentioned may be a difficult job, but the Lord has become so small that anyone in any temple can carefully handle deity worship simply by performing the same activities with the Shaligram Srila, right? So the big deities, then you're just, when the time comes, it means you have the offerings, you have the Mangal Artiks, so those are not a problem. Then after that, then removing the clothes, you know, from the night before, then you are wiping them with a nice, you know, the damp cloth, drying them if necessary, clean. Then you're dressing them again. And then you, so basically you see the last, those main five items, that the nice clothes, nice scents, nice ornaments, nice flowers, nice foodstuffs. These are the five that are being done very nicely and regularly in offering to the large deities. And then for Shaligram, then you can worship with the 64, at least the minimum, the 16. You know, but in the temple, you can do all these so many things during the day. So then you can see it's home worship, then they would do the 16, and then the temple, they would do 64 like that, or how much they can. That's what I said, the 50. So then, you know, a few of these, you know, some of those ones that are, you know, what you can see is that many of them said, you know, offer these to the deity. And then another one, it says, offer first class of this item. So they're just trying to emphasize that. So those ones you see are double, then you remove all those and you basically end up with 50. So those are the things that are can regularly be done during the day. There are 32 offenses to the deity that should be avoided. One, one should not enter the temple in a vehicle. Shoes and slippers should be removed before entering the temple. Two, one should offer obeisances as soon as he sees the deity. Three, one should enter the temple after taking a bath. In other words, one should be very clean. Four, one should not offer obeisances to the deity with one hand, right? Doing something else, holding something, offer obeisances, keeping an eye. You have to be focused on offering obeisances. So if need be, either go put the thing down where it goes, come back, offer obeisances, or put the thing down there, offer obeisances, and then take it and go. So it just depends on what you're doing. But you wouldn't put boga and stuff on the floor. Five, one should not circumambulate demigods before the deities, right? Like that, yeah. Six, one should not spread his legs before the deity. Seven, one should not sit before the deity with his legs crossed, nor should one touch his legs with his hands, right? So you just sit nicely. You don't touch your legs with your hand. You don't like that. You're not touching your feet, not doing all those things. So in other words, you're sitting nicely and that and maintaining, you know, proper etiquette. One should not lie down before the deity. Nine, one should not eat before the deity. 10, one should not speak lies before the deity. 11, one should not speak very loudly before the deity. 12, one should not talk nonsense before the deity. 13, one should not cry before the deity. 14, one should not deal with others before the deity. 15, one should not utter harsh words before the deity. 16, one should not cover himself with a blanket. You know, blanket means the one you've slept in. You don't use that to come to the temple in that. One, they get stinky. Two, they're generally made of coarser fabric, you know, coarser threads. And so they tend to shed and make a real mess. 17, one should not talk enviously of others before the deity. 18, one should not praise others before the deity. Right, means that you're just praising, meaning something. We're not talking about the glories of the Vaishnavas or the devotees of the Lord and all that. We're talking about that you're telling somebody, oh, he's so great, so could you please do this for me and all that kind of stuff. And somebody who doesn't do that, you don't talk enviously about them in front of the deities. Right? One should not use slang before the deity. 20. One should not pass air before the deity. 21, one should not neglect the 64 items of deity worship. 22, one should not eat anything not offered to the deity. 23, one should not neglect small seasonal fruits. No, one should not neglect offering seasonal fruits as soon as they are available. So when the seasonal fruits start coming in, you know, they're not, then they're starting to be offered. You know, like today, there's a big storm yesterday. So that generally means green mangoes are in the market, so now you can start offering those to the deities, right? You make chutneys, you make achars, you know, do different things with them, salads, different things like that. And then when the ripe ones come, then you start offering the ripe ones, you know. So as each fruit comes in season, then you offer to the deity. You don't miss out on that. You should be aware of when they're coming in. 24, one should always offer fresh, untouched fruit to the deity. 15, you know, so it shouldn't be something that, you know, the cow has eaten half of it or something, you know. 25, you know, it shouldn't be also bruised and all that. So it should be, you know, taken and dealt with nicely to prepare. 25, one should not sit with his back towards the deity. 26, one should not offer obeisances to others before the deity. 27, one should not sit near the deity without taking the spiritual master's permission. Right, so you don't sit too close. You sit wherever you are. If you go up closer, then you know that takes some, that it's appropriate. You know, otherwise, then we find some people may, you know, just on their own go up close and all that. But the spiritual master might not be, sitting in that place. 28. One should not be proud to hear himself praised before the deity. Right, if someone else is glorifying, then you don't become proud. Yes, yes, you know, yeah, you know, that kind of stuff. 29, one should not blaspheme the demigods, right? Because they're servants of the Lord. 30, one should not be unkind to others before the deity. 31, one should observe all festivals in the temple. One should not fight or quarrel before the deity. 224, 337. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the items of worship such as water, conch shell, flowers, incense, and lamp should be described. You should also mention chanting softly, offering prayers, circumambulating, and offering obeisances. All these should be carefully described. That carefully means the detail is there. You're seeing that its understanding is there. The Shastra quotes are given. You know, it's given, presented in a way that can be appreciated for understanding and for application, you know, like that. And you understand what the purpose is, all these things. Srila Prabhupada. All these are mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. The eighth Vilas of that book should be consulted as far as possible. Riti, the eighth Vilas is 508 verses, covering elaborate details about offering incense, lamps, flowers, food, mantras, mudras, gifts, tilak, ornaments, clothing, an umbrella, flags, weapons, mirror, music, etc., rules and regulations while performing these offerings, information on offering prayers, bowing down, circumambulation, offering the results of one's actions, japa, praying for unflinching devotion, forgiving offenses, avoiding offenses, inviting the Lord into one's heart, the rules of worship, etc. Right. So these are all in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Yeah. 224, 338, 342. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, other items you should describe are the method of performing Purushcharana, taking Krishna Prasadam, giving up unoffered food, and not blaspheming the Lord's devotees. You should describe the symptoms of a devotee, how to associate with devotees, how to satisfy a devotee by rendering service, and how to give up the association of non-devotees. You should also explain the value of regularly hearing the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. You should describe the ritualistic duties to be performed every day. You should also describe the fortnightly duties, especially how to observe the fortnightly Ekadasi fast. You should also describe the duties to be observed every month, and you should especially describe the observance of ceremonies like Janmashtami, Ram Navami, and the Shringa Chaturdasi. Ekadasi, Janmashtami, Vamana Dwadasi, Ram Navami, and the Shringa Chaturdasi, all these should be described. You should recommend the avoidance of mixed Ekadasi and the performance of pure Ekadasi, right? So, because we see that depending upon how one approaches, that there are many, many groups, so they just take it that, okay, this is the Amavasya is here at zero, the full moon is at 180, and so then in between, they just divide it equally. And so then you're going to get the 11th day is going to be called the Ekadasi. But then that's the Lord Chaitanya's point is that no, but your calculations must be a little bit more exact than that, in which you are seeing the length the length of the lunar day. They just take it. They just divide it by the solar days. They don't bother in between. And so, but the lunar day when it goes, and so they just say then that lunar day is that on that day, this is this and this. And so then it becomes, in one sense, very simple, but Lord Chaitanya's pointed out, you should be very careful of no mixed Ekadasis. So mixed Ekadasis come when, because of the movement of the moons, the day is too short or long, or different things happen. Certain nakshatras are seven different considerations. And so because of that, then you won't fast on the Ekadasi Titi. That will fast on the next day, on the Dwadasi, so they're called the Maha Dwadasi. So in that way, then, if it's a pure Ekadasi, it's followed on that way. If it's mixed, it'll be followed the next day. So that's why you see in different places in India, it might be a Shuddha Ekadasi or it might be a Maha Dwadasi, because you're going by when the sun rises on that. So in Mayapur, it may be one thing, but over in Bombay, because of that difference in like 45 minutes, in time, then it might be that it's too late. The day was so short already, it just makes it in Mayapur, but over on that side, it doesn't. And so then it'll become a mixed Ekadasi. You should also describe the fault in not observing the Ekadasi. One should be very careful as far as these items are concerned, if one is not careful, one will be negligent in executing devotional service. Priti. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, pure Ekadasi days are known as Hari Vasara. The impure Vridha Ekadasi days are not to be observed. When there is a Vridha Ekadasi, then the following day, known as Mahadwadasi, is to be observed. Jiva Dharma, chapter 20. Okay, so Bhakti, yeah. Additionally, Srila Bhakti Charuswami explains in his Vaishnava etiquette course, perhaps you've noticed that sometimes we don't fast on the Ekadasi, but we fast on the Dwadasi. The reason we do this is that the Ekadasi is mixed. That is, Dasami enters into Ekadasi. When the 10th day overlaps the 11th day, it is to be mixed or penetrated. And one does not fast on that Ekadasi, but instead fast on the next day, which is Dwadasi, the 12th day. And it has been described that fasting on Mahadwadasi is 1,000 times more potent than fasting on Ekadasi. Otherwise, people would say, no, no, we don't do this. Oh, you don't get the benefit. It's showing, no, no, you get even more benefit. Because the point is that's why then you see is that it's not a pure Ekadasi. It should be on a Dwadasi. So the point is that you're following Lord Chaitanya's instructions here and considering that. But it's only when it's a mixed Ekadasi that you follow. You shouldn't think, oh, it's 1,000 times. So every Dwadasi will fax. No, it's only true Ekadasis are followed like that. But if you fast on the Vridha Ekadasi, then instead, the Mahadwadasi then is more potent than fasting on that Ekadasi. You know, whether it's more potent than a regular Ekadasi, that's we'd have to see. That's what is being explained. But at least it's more potent than fasting on that Ekadasi day when it's mixed. 224, 334 to 345. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded, whatever you say about Vaishnava behavior, the establishment of Vaishnava temples and deities and everything else should be supported by evidence from the Puranas. You should give general and specific descriptions of the behavior and activities of a Vaishnava. You should outline things that are to be done and things that are not to be done. All this should be described as regulations and etiquette. I have thus given a synopsis of the Vaishnava regulative principles. I've given this in brief, just to give you a little direction. When you write on this subject, Krishna will help you by spiritually awakening you. Srila Prabhupada. One cannot write on spiritual matters without being blessed by Krishna in the disciplic succession of gurus. The blessing of the authorities are one's power of attorney. One should not try to write anything about Vaishnava behavior and activities without being authorized by superior authorities. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.2. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidhu. In other words, what you're writing has to be in line with what the acharyas are given. You can't just write whatever you like. That's the problem with so many of these translations of Gita. They're just writing whatever they like, whatever they feel. It doesn't make sense to them. So they say, oh, this doesn't make sense. So it must mean this. Or they don't like the particular one that's obvious, but they like another alternative. Yeah, it says this, but you know, I think this would be better. It would be the better like that. So they say like this in their comments at the bottom of the page. 224, 346, 347. Thus I have narrated Lord Chaitanya's mercy upon Sanatana Goswami. When one hears these topics, one's heart will be cleansed of all contamination. The authorized poet Kavi Karnapur has written a book named Chaitanya Chandradoya Nataka. This book tells how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Sanatana Goswami with his specific mercy. Okay, how are we doing on time? Chapter that, Srila Prabhupada. The next three verses, 348, 350, are from the Chaitanya Chandradoya Nataka. 934, 35 to 38. So this will be then giving that blessings and everything. And so then we'll read that tomorrow. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.